We're going to continue our sermon series on Go Fish. We started it a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about turning fishermen into followers. This is something Jesus said, and basically we said, if you're a follower, if you're a follower, you're a fisher. You know, you will bring other people in. We're using a passage out of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus said to the disciples, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, one of the key points there is if you are following him, he will do that. And so if we find ourselves, you know, struggling with how can we be a fisher of men, just get closer to Jesus. He has a way of turning up that flame inside of us that just comes out of us naturally. But it's just, for me, this is great stuff because I love to fish. So, I mean, I could literally talk to you guys for hours and hours and hours about fishing and analogies that I've learned about fishing for fish, being an angler, and fishing for men. There's just so many similarities, but I thought this morning, instead of me, you know, boring you to death, I'd bring another angler up here, Steve Brinkley. Steve, where are you at, Steve? Come on up here. Steve Brinkley is a better fisherman than I am, and I just am ashamed to say that, but he is actually better than me, so I thought maybe Steve could share a couple things here. And so there's the first one. Look at those. What are those, Steve? What are they?
Walleye from Lake Erie.
Yeah, so I have fished with Steve, and he's very nice when he takes you fishing, but the deal is, and I don't know how it works, but if I'm in a boat, and Steve's like bass and walleye, that's his thing, you know. But if I'm in a boat with Steve and I'm fishing, for every one fish I catch, he lands three.
I think it goes that way opposite on the river.
No, but on the river, I take Steve on the river, and for every one that Steve catches, I catch 10. So I'm getting back at that.
close, yeah.
So, okay, Steve, what is just to share with everybody, just maybe what's a analogy you've learned about fishing and fishing for fish and being a fisher of men?
One thing I always tell people when they're starting out fishing and everything like that, all great fishermen spend a lot of time not catching fish. We go out there, we try, you know, things just aren't happening. And if you don't stick with it, you're not gonna.
Yeah.
And so I always tell people, don't be discouraged. Go out there, try, you know, sooner or later, it's gonna happen. Yeah. You know, if you keep trying different things and keep going for it.
So Steve, you've had days where you've been fishing and you got skunked.
I don't like to say that, but yes.
I don't like to say that.
It hurts my feelings.
It hurts my feelings too, but so what's the analogy? What's the analogy?
Basically, you know, I mean, as you're going out, you're talking to people, you're witnessing to people, it's not always going to work out. They're not always going to take it because that second step is on them.
Yep.
And you can't make somebody come to God. You can't make somebody. So as you're going out, talk to people, stick with it. Don't be discouraged. You know, maybe you planted that seed that sooner or later is going to grow into something else.
Yep. There you go. So yeah, it takes persistence. And everybody doesn't respond, and you have your good days and your bad days, and
absolutely,
and you're committed. But you go fishing even after you have a couple, you know, a day of no catching fish. You're still going to be out there.
Yep.
Not giving up. All right. So just one other thing I noticed with Steve, though. So Steve has to share at least one secret with us about why he catches more fish than I do. Is that fair? Because I'm watching him in the boat, man. It's like, what the heck? He shows me and everything, and then he hooks up three times, and I hook up once. So what is the deal? I notice when you cast, Steve, you reel in like, is there some kind of thing about the way you reel it in, the speed? Do you change up the speed, or what do you do?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. It's always kind of going through different motions. You have, you know, let's say you have five or six different retrieves you might try with the bait.
Wait. Five or six, this is where you get five or six different retrieves.
Yeah. So, you know, the bait may be the right bait, you know, but if the fish aren't aggressive, maybe you've got to go slow and like hop a bait, or maybe you've got to do a steady reel. Maybe you've got to reel it real fast and then stop. You know, different things that will make the fish trigger that bite,
so,
whatever they're seeing.
So when I'm fishing with you and I cast it out, then I just reel it in like this?
Not all the time.
Not going to work. That's why you catch more than me.
Practice.
All right, one more picture. What's this picture about here, Steve?
Oh! Sometimes when we're out there, we got to fish with a pretty rough bunch. this was one of my first really successful salmon days. This was my first trip up to Michigan with Dave here, and man, we got some fish that day. We fished into the night, as you can see, and we're still catching fish. We had to figure out, we had a pretty good hike out, and we had to find a way to carry all those fish out. So Dave and I found a stick and put them through, and we got out together. I think that was also the night I looked pretty wet. I think that was the night that I took a little bit of a swim going for Mike Fitterer's fish and net.
Yeah.
But rest assured, the net and the fish made it back safely.
Yeah. So, okay, how about one more analogy? So, yeah, so Steve, you fell in that night. Too bad. Anyway, you fell in, but... So, you know, sometimes things happen and, you know, you're out witnessing or you're talking to somebody at work and you might get a little pushback. I mean, how'd you get over the fact that you fell in and just kept right on fishing?
That's what I was there to do.
That's what you were there to do. Didn't let it set you back?
Well, I said I was allowed. Yeah.
You dumped the water out, got right back on, you know, got out, dumped all the water out of your boots, got right back in. So what happens if you get a little pushback and you're sharing the gospel with somebody?
You know, really stick with it. I mean... You know, I mean, sometimes you're going to take some bumps. Things aren't going to go your way. You're going to have somebody come back at you and maybe be upset, maybe be offended. And you just got to keep moving forward because you know that, you know, their soul going to heaven is more important than whatever you just went through.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here's Steve Brinkley, I mean. All right. Thanks, Steve. No kidding, though. Steve Brinkley can fish. Let me tell you, if you ever want, you know, someone, I don't know how much time he has, but if you ever need somebody to show you something, he can fish, you know. So this morning, though, I want to talk about, like, one of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to being a fisher of men. And the biggest mistake is trying to fish alone. Don't try to fish alone. Like, first of all, when it comes to fishing for fish, me personally, I don't fish alone. Probably for a number of reasons, but I really think for one of them is just, it's a social sport. You know, it's just, I don't like being out on the river by myself. And besides the fact, when I catch that big fish, who's going to take the picture of me holding it up? You know, then I got to tell them I caught this big fish. Yeah, right, Dave. Yeah, sure. I mean, I could tell you some fish stories, but the only ones I will tell you is the ones that I have witnesses to. I've even had I have a document I had some guy sign one day because of stuff that happened on that day of fishing. But I don't like fishing alone because it's just not good. And actually, there have been times where even when I'm fishing with guys, we get spread out on the river. I may be fishing here, and there's somebody like on the other side of that wall down the river, and I'll hook into a fish. Well, if it's not a big fish, I can handle it. But if I happen to hook into a big fish, I'm telling you, it is not easy bringing a big fish in by yourself on the river. That water's pushing really hard, and there have been many times that the only reason I landed the big fish that I did was because somebody was there to help me. It's just not easy. Now, if you're fishing for little fish, maybe that's okay, but if you're going for a big fish and need some help, well, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to being a fisher of men, the image, the perception we have about this is, I am supposed to go out on the street and talk to a stranger and tell them they need Jesus. You know, a cashier that you don't know or a waitress that you don't know, and you say, are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Do you know Jesus? And you know, for most of us, I think that kind of wigs you out. You know, go be a fisher of men. Go out there and preach the gospel to everybody. It's like, oh. Now, you know, some of us can do that. I don't have too much difficulty with that, but that's sort of my personality and my gifting. But reality tells me that isn't the way it works most of the time. And one of the things we probably want to take a look at, especially this morning, is the whole idea of having a fishing buddy or fishing buddies. And where I'm going with this is going to talk about the power of learning how to fish together on Sunday morning. The power of a Sunday morning service is probably one of the most effective ways that every one of you, whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, every one of you can participate and be a fisher of men if you get the revelation about the power of fishing with your buddies and your team and everybody working together. It happens through Sunday morning. You ready for that? Okay, first you just need to turn to somebody right and left and say, hey, will you be my fishing buddy? Will you be my fishing buddy? You go fishing with me? Yeah, and then say to them, but do not spook the fish. Don't be weird. You know, Maybe we could just talk about a few things that can make your day of fishing not very well, go very well. Like if you've worked really hard on inviting your boss or your coworker to church on Sunday, you want to know that the church environment is going to be welcoming and friendly, and that people aren't going to be weird, and the person's going to have a chance to just experience God. And so, you know, we really do need to work on being friendly and open and kind to people and reaching out to guests. And I tell you, the one thing that probably, you know, makes the fishing not that good on a Sunday morning is when a guest comes at 10:30, or they usually come like 10:25, and then there's like nobody here, you know, and they're thinking, well, what's happening here? So, you know, if you're bringing somebody, you want to make sure it's going to be a good experience. Well, keep that in mind. Somebody's bringing their friend. You want to try and be here and just be alert to the fact that this is a great day for evangelism to take place. It's a powerful, powerful time. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you because Jesus talked about this. This one is in Matthew. It's Matthew 18. And I've always been amazed at this passage of scripture here because here's Jesus talking in Matthew 18, and he says in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I've always found this an interesting passage because isn't it true that Jesus is with you when you're by yourself? Right? Isn't God with you wherever you're at? He never leaves you. Why is he saying, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them"? I think Jesus was saying there is something special when God's people gather together where the presence of God is made known. I'm sure that's what he's saying because otherwise he would be saying the only time you can experience God is when you're with somebody else. And we know that's not true. You can experience God at home, at work, in the woods, wherever. But I think Jesus was saying there's something special when two or three people gather in his name. So we're gathering. He's not talking about just gathering for whatever. He's talking about gathering for God business, Jesus business. When we're gathering in the name of the Lord, the presence of God is manifest. And that's real. He's talking about a spiritual atmosphere which is tangible. And this is the power of bringing people to church on Sunday, that they can experience God in a way that probably they can't, not very likely to experience it outside of the gathering. Sometimes a person can have that encounter with God and have a life-changing experience in a matter of minutes and get it done what would take hours and hours of you trying to explain it. So there's something about recognizing the power of bringing people to church on Sunday. This is their opportunity to experience God. And then there's a writer, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he has a section in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews where he actually goes into some detail. What is that about? What is that spiritual atmosphere? And he kind of lists off three different things. I just want to read them to you. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. He's talking about when we gather together. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. It starts in verse 22. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Then verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised us is faithful." And then the third one, he says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So there's, I think it might be a mental deficiency for me, but when I read this stuff, something jumps out at me and weird thoughts jump into my mind. So when I read this, like verse 22, "Let us draw near," and then I read verse 23, "Let us hold fast," and then I read verse 24, "Let us consider." Oh, he's talking about let us. Paul's saying that your church service has to be like three heads of lettuce. So I brought three heads of lettuce for you here this morning so you can see that your church service should be like three heads of lettuce. The first one, he said, "Let us draw near." So what he's saying, when you gather together, we're drawing near to God. We're experiencing God. I mean, it's a fact, and it's different than when you're by yourself. But here's the power of this. we're drawing near to God, God is drawing near to us. When you invite someone to church, they're going to experience the presence of God. They'll feel it. I mean, many of you have said that. Many of you, the first time you went to church, you felt something and you couldn't put your hand, like, what is that? It's God. It's that presence of God. When we pray at the end of the service and we say, you know, some of you might be feeling somebody, you know, pressure, some knocking at the door of your heart or something. That's the presence of God. That's drawing near to God. But what he's saying is God's ready to draw near to you. So the very first thing, the first head of lettuce, why is it so powerful to bring people to church? Because when they're here, rather than trying to talk them into believing in God, just come on and experience God. You'll draw near to God. Who needs salad here this morning? I got to get rid of these. Let's out. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. I'll get sued on this one. So what's the second one? He says, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the truths of the gospel, our confession of faith, our hope. Let us hold fast. So what he's talking about here is you're coming together, and when you're coming together, you're being strengthened in your faith. Let's hold fast to our faith. Let's hold on to our faith. Well, first of all, why would he say let's hold fast to your faith? Why would he even say that? Well, because it's probably slipping away if you're not doing that. It must be possible for it to slip away if he doesn't. He wouldn't say hold fast unless it can slip away. And folks, I think it's pretty fair to say that in America today, our Christian faith is being so challenged that a lot of people are not holding fast. And so when you're coming to church on Sunday, you're being taught what is right and what is wrong. Holding fast. I mean, I just want to do a real quick little survey here, but I can tell you that many of us are still not holding fast. And if I were to ask you a couple of questions, you don't have to raise your hand, but how about I just say, is it true that the world was created in 6 24-hour days? Yes or no? Okay, some of you may struggle with that. The answer is yes, but I would say hold fast. Is it true Jesus is the only way to God? Yes. Some of you are sitting there, well, you know, there's other ways. And is it true that having sex outside of marriage is wrong? Oh, well, maybe, you know, if I love her. No, it's wrong. Hold fast. Is it true God hates divorce? Yes. Well, my husband's a jerk, though, you know. Is it true homosexuality is sin? Yes. Oh, some of you didn't say that. It's like, well, maybe not. I mean, what's happened is we're not holding fast. But how does this play into the impact of bringing somebody to church? This is the best part about this. Listen, when you bring people to church and the Word of God is preached, and the Holy Spirit is present. Jesus said the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict man of sin. So rather than you having to tell somebody what you are doing is wrong, which is awkward, and we would all prefer not to do that, right? You don't like going around, well, you got to stop doing that, you got to stop doing that, you got to stop doing that. I mean, that's just, I'm not interested in that. Now, obviously on occasion, and especially if they ask you, is this right or wrong? I have an obligation. Yes, I'm going to represent Christ. But I'm telling you, when you bring someone to church, it takes the pressure off of you. The Holy Spirit does his work. People feel convicted of their sins. The Holy Spirit does that. I mean, amazing things happen when you bring people to church. I will tell you this story, and you may think this isn't true, but this is so true. This is exactly how it happened. I was preaching one Sunday, and a lady was sitting. She was sitting over here. I remember her telling me where she was sitting. She had her Bible open. She said the passage of scriptures was on the left side. And I was preaching on that passage of scriptures. And she said she just felt compelled to jump over to the passage of scriptures on the right side of her Bible. And when she did, she was so convicted of her sin. She was in an adulterous affair. No one knew about it. She's reading this passage on the right side. She gets so convicted of her sin. She repents of her sin. And I got involved with their marriage after that. And far as I know, to this day, they're still married. They've been restored. But what is up with that? God God, by his Holy Spirit, convicts a lady of sin, and he's not even using my sermon. I put hours into the sermon, hours. No, that's fine. You know, that's fine. It's not about the sermon. It's about encountering God. You bring your friend to church, you don't have to worry about it. First of all, it's on me. It's on the preacher. I better preach the word, but I know I preach the word with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing the job. He will convict people of their sin. How awesome is that? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let's hold fast to our faith. Let's be reminded what's right and wrong, but let's realize the Holy Spirit can bring people to that point of repentance and salvation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the third head of lettuce, better not throw these, but if you need lettuce, you can come up and get it. The third head of lettuce is, he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This is talking about fellowship, the power of fellowship. When you gather together. I mean, how awesome is it when you see people, you haven't seen them all week, or you haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. Hey, how you doing? You give them a hug, and you know, what's going on, and hear stories, and it's just fellowship. It's just fellowship. But it isn't just fellowship. Jesus said, others will take notice of you when they see the love you have one for another. This, again, is tangible. This is a presence of God. When people come to church and they see something. We just don't always see it because it's like, well, every Sunday I give you a hug and how you doing, how the kids, what's going on with your job, and, you know, everybody's cool. But here's somebody who's not connected, not part of a community. They see that, and there's power there, and it's not a show. We're not putting on a show for somebody. It's real. And this is what he's saying. When you come together, let us consider one another. Enjoy that fellowship. Let it be real, because people who don't have that will awaken within them that hunger that they have. I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Everybody has that hunger. Sometimes it gets stifled, but when they see people that love one another, it's like you're drawn in. I want to be a part of something. I don't want to live my life by myself. I don't, you know, we're made to be social beings, and being connected, being part of a community is something that we all desire. And so there's power. There's power in fishing with other people. You don't have to fish alone. You don't have to go out on the street and pass out tracts. You don't have to, you know, get a bullhorn and, you know, yell on the corner. Some people can and some people do, and there are many different ways people fish. We talked about this. Everybody's got different ways. But I'm telling you here this morning, you can all be an evangelist. You can all be an evangelist if you recognize the power of getting your coworker, your neighbor, your friend, your relative into church on a Sunday and just learning how to take advantage of the opportunities. You know, for instance, in 6 weeks, what's happening here on Sunday? Easter, there you go. Yeah, it's Easter in 6 weeks. Now, folks, come on. Everybody in America knows you go to church on Easter. You do. You do. They will go. If you invite someone to church on Easter, they're very likely to say, sure, I'll go. Wow, you're bringing them in here. What's going to happen? We're going to draw near to God. God's going to draw near to us, and God is going to draw near to them. They're going to encounter the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring a transformation in their beliefs. Whatever it is they believe, it's going to be the Holy Spirit is going to correct them. He'll transform them. And they will see the fellowship and love. And you'll be a part of people being saved. I mean, how cool is that? That's real, folks. That's real. And it's not as awkward as we think of when we think of being a fisher of men. You know, how do I do that? The awkwardness might just be inviting them to church on Sunday. I mean, that's the biggest difficulty, but it isn't really that hard. So my prayer for you is that as we continue through this series, that you're inspired to be a fisher of men. I mean, you want to see people experience God. He is incredible. He is incredible. He forgives our sins. He loves us abundantly. He's always full of grace and mercy. I want everybody that I know to know Jesus. Sometimes I can have that long conversation with them at work, or, you know, in a car when I'm fishing or hunting or something, but I know if I get them in here, I just know God's got a greater chance of transforming their lives. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that we have fishing buddies. Gosh, God, that I don't have to fish for men by myself, that I've got all these people here, and when we gather together in your name, you're right there among us. Your presence is real. You speak to us. You draw near to us. And God, I thank you that we have that assurance when we bring our friends and our neighbors that you'll draw near to them, God. And God, I thank you that you are the one who transforms people's belief systems, God. And if there are people here that have not held fast and have strayed from what is right and what is wrong, God, we know you do the work. And we're just grateful, God, because that transforms a life. And we thank you for the fellowship that we have, God. It is just nice to be a part of a community of people who love you, God. There's life there. And for that, God, we are so grateful. I pray, God, you begin to prepare us as we think about opportunities, especially as Easter is drawing near. God, I know there's a coworker, there is a neighbor, there is a relative in our lives, God, that you want us to reach out to. And give us that ability, give us that skill level to be able to invite them to church, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just stay in the presence of the Lord. As I was talking earlier, that is a real presence. You can feel it. Just welcome your presence here, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you draw near to us as we draw near to you, God. Just more of your presence, Father. We want more of your presence here. Just come, Holy Spirit. So just as we're just opening our hearts up to God, I just want to take a minute and put a challenge out there. You know, maybe you're feeling something this morning, like I was talking about. You're feeling that presence of God. Sometimes it feels like pressure. I like to refer to it as like somebody knocking at the door of my heart. But maybe the Lord brought you here this morning. Maybe it's your first Sunday. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks or a few months. But there's a time in everybody's life where they have to make a decision. Where do you stand with God? And I would also like to add, there's a time in your life where you realize you need God. He is what you've been searching after, whether you realize it or not. But maybe today you're beginning to realize it. He's placed within us a hunger for a real relationship with him. And I just want to take a moment this morning and challenge you. If you're here and you recognize you're not really in touch with him, you've disconnected somehow. Maybe as a child you were a Christian following him, but maybe somehow things have separated you. Or maybe you've never made that decision, but here you are this morning. You're not here by chance. Maybe somebody invited you and they've been praying for you. Or maybe you just came because you heard about our church. But I just want to take a minute and challenge you. Are you ready to open your heart up to God? And if so, we're going to pray here in a minute. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We're just going to pray a real simple prayer. But I believe it's real. I know it's real. I know when you open your heart and you draw near to God, he's going to draw near. You will receive Holy Spirit of God into your life. So let's just take a minute. Holy Spirit, I know you're the one that does the work. We just get to do it with you, but you're the one that does it. And I just pray right now, you make yourself known. Knock at the door of hearts here this morning. Call people. Some of you have strayed and the Holy Spirit's calling you back today. Some of you have been thinking about this for a couple of weeks. I think there's even somebody here that said, you know, the next time Pastor Dave does that, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to make that decision. We'll do it today. Walk out of here different. So if you're just sensing that tug at your heart here this morning, you want to make a decision, would you just do me a favor right where you're standing? Just put your hand up and say, yep, Pastor Dave, I want to make a decision here this morning. Right there. Yep, right there. Right there. Turn around there, Steve. Right behind you. Come on. A couple of others here this morning. Come on. This is your time right now. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God reaching out to you. What you're feeling is real. Oh, yep, right over here. Okay, right over here. Yep, yep. Little young girl's got her hand up. Okay, come on. Come on. Anybody else here this morning? feeling that tug at your heart. It's real. It's not emotion. It's not the coffee you drink. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He's making himself known. This is your opportunity. Anybody else this morning? Okay, let's do this. Let's just pray a real simple prayer. We're all going to pray this together. But I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to move here. So, Jesus, please come into my life right now. Forgive me of all my sins. I surrender to you. Today I call you my Lord. Make yourself real to me, God. And change me from the inside out. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. In the name of Jesus, just come. Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. How good it is, God, that you are always ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, amen. Man, good for you. Good for you, man. Hey, it's real, brother. It's real. And when you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit of God honors that. And so we want to stand with you. Really do, man. And may God guide you and show himself to you. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with our last song here this morning. And, you know, I just want to open up the front here. And we're just closing out with just, you know, you want to come up and just present yourself before the Lord. But I also just got a sense there might be some of you here, you know, maybe, I don't know, but maybe you've never shared your faith with anybody, you know, for some unknown reason. The fear has just crippled you or something, or you just don't know how or don't think you're capable, whatever it is. But I just want to say this morning, I think God wants you to just draw near to him. Because remember, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So just as we close out with the song, if you want to come up and just present yourself before the Lord, just worship him, just do so and let God reveal himself to you and do the work that he needs to do in your heart.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Sing that out. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Sing that again.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, power in the name of Jesus. There is power in there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Sing, I love your presence.
I love thy presence.